Pray with me, if you will, please. Almighty God, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit, pour him out upon us, open us to receiving not only this word as we've heard it read, but also as we reflect on the meaning of it for our lives. Send your Spirit to be upon me also, Lord, to share this message that you've given. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, a father and a son went fishing one day. And after a couple of hours being out in that boat, the boy suddenly became curious about the world all around him. And he asked his father, "How does this boat float?" And the father thought for a moment, and then he replied, "Well, son, I don't rightly know." So the boy returned to his contemplation, and he turned to his dad again. He said, "How do fish breathe underwater?" Well, once again, the father thought a bit, and he said, "Son, I don't rightly know." A little later, the boy asked his father, "Why is the sky blue?" "I don't rightly know," said the father again. So worried he was going to annoy his father, he said, "Dad, do you mind me asking you all these questions?" "Of course not, son. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything." Asking questions is a very good way to attain knowledge. When it comes to our faith and relationship with God, we want to gain knowledge of the scriptures to learn more about God. But is that really enough? Is it enough to know about God? If we've read God's word, we know the answer to that question is definitely no. The scriptures teach us, like the text that we heard Glenn read for us this morning, that we need to know. We need to know God. Not just about God, for our relationship and our faith in him to make a real difference in our lives. So how are we going to work at that? I have a picture in my office of one of my pastors from Lititz Church of the Brethren. It's a picture of Jimmy Ross. Jimmy is very special to me. He helped me through a difficult period in my life. He was very instrumental in my becoming a pastor. I have a great deal of respect and love for him. Jimmy is and always will be a mentor to me. And when I find myself in a situation that's a bit challenging, I look over at that picture and I say, I wonder what Jimmy would do in this situation. Many of us have role models, people we look up to for inspiration and guidance, someone we aspire to be like. A good role model is someone who helps us to value ourselves and encourages us to be the best person we can be. Oftentimes, they help us to see things in ourselves that we don't recognize. Think about it for just a moment. Who has been your role models? How about Jesus? Maybe you've heard of the acronym WWJD, reminding Christians to ask themselves, "What would Jesus do?" in different situations. Do you strive to be like Jesus? The Bible tells us there is no better example to follow to show us how to love God and neighbor. We know Jesus as the Son of God, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, the incarnation of the divine presence with flesh and blood. He's a prophet, a teacher, and our Savior. We know all of these things about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? We can ask the same thing about the disciples, especially when they were called to follow him. You know, Jesus said, "Come and follow me," and they dropped everything. They just got up and went and followed him. Now, why? Why did they do that? I want to suggest that looking at some of the context of the day helps us to understand why they were able to drop everything and follow Jesus. You see, in the Jewish culture of Jesus' day, six-year-old children began to attend classes at the local synagogue. They went there 5 days a week to learn the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. You want to know something? They memorized the first five books of the Bible. Can you imagine memorizing Leviticus of all of them? I thought that was amazing. The classes were called Beit Sefer. At the age of 10, they graduated from that class. They were finished with their schooling. Yay! 10 years old, all done. But at that point, there were some who kind of finished on the honor roll, and they had an opportunity to move up to a higher level. But those that didn't, they had to go home and learn the family trade, you know, fishing, carpentry, those kinds of things. But the kids who stood out, the ones who made honor roll, were permitted to continue their schooling. They attended what was called Beit Talmud. Those who attended this class studied all of the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. Guess what? They memorized it. I would have failed a long time ago. So these 10 through 14-year-olds got on the ball and memorized the Old Testament. They also learned the Jewish art of questions and answers. This means they learned how to answer questions with questions. Does that sound like anybody else you know? Jesus did that a lot, didn't he? So they were taught to be curious about the scriptures. Not many young children made it this far, but if you did and you knew your scriptures well enough, you made it to the distinguished honor roll. And there was a possible opportunity for you to attend yet another set of classes called Beit Midrash. And if you made it to these classes, you were given the honor of studying under a rabbi. But it wasn't automatic. You first had to go through a grilling of questions given by the rabbi. He wanted to make sure that you were ready for this level of education. He did this to determine if you knew enough. He also wanted to know if you were willing to follow him in all the areas of his life to be like him. And if the rabbi didn't think you could succeed at this, well, guess what? You were sent home to learn the family trade. Very few students made it this far. But if you did, the rabbi would become your teacher, and your goal would be to believe what he believed, interpret the scriptures the way he interpreted the scriptures, and become like him in every single way. And if you passed the rabbi's interrogation of questions, he would come to you and he would say, "Come, follow me." Being chosen for this was considered a great honor. Now, the disciples never made it to the honor roll, let alone the distinguished honor roll. They were sent home to learn the family trade. And as fishermen, they were not very high on the social ladder. But then Jesus, who was considered a great teacher and even a rabbi by many in his day, even though he did not go through these classes, he came along and he said to the disciples, he said something very familiar, "Come, follow me." He said that to these uneducated, simple men. In other words, Jesus said to them, "Come and learn from me. Come and learn to be like me in every way. Come, follow my example." Man, this was big stuff. When you think about what this meant to the people in that day, who wouldn't drop everything to follow Jesus? Especially if you were never assessed to be good enough to go through all those other classes. Interestingly, although it did take some time, the disciples did become like Jesus, didn't they? Day in and day out, they followed his teachings of obedience to God. They asked a lot of questions, good thing. Repeatedly, they did what he did. And you know what? They messed up sometimes, which must have frustrated Jesus to no end. Oh, but then that was Jesus, right? Maybe he didn't get frustrated. But they experienced his grace and his love for them. All of this changed them, not only on the outside of who they were, but on the inside. It changed them on the inside of who they were. Now here's the good news, my friends. Jesus, the Son of God, the great rabbi, calls to us and he says, come, follow me. He says it to us. It's an invitation like no other invitation we will ever receive. He says to us, come and follow my example. Learn from me. Do as I do. Come and get to know me intimately. Live with me day in and day out, not just on Sunday mornings, not just when it's convenient for you, but all the time. And if you do, your eyes will be opened. Your heart will be unlocked to my presence living in you, and you will be like me. Maybe not perfect, but don't worry, Jesus says, I took care of that. And when you become like me, listen to this. You pass on my example to those around you. The story is told of a TV repairman who didn't like to bring his work home with him. So as a result, he never properly bothered to install the TV antenna on the top of his house or fix it when one arm broke during a windstorm. One day, a new family moved in next door, and the owner went up on the roof to install the antenna. Knowing that his neighbor was a TV repairman, he put it up exactly the same way and turned his antenna to face in the same direction as his neighbor's. And he stood back and he studied the neighbor's antenna. And then he reached up and he broke one arm of his brand new antenna. As disciples, we teach by example, whether we intend to or not. So we better be following Jesus. Having a servant's heart, becoming selfless, obeying God's commands, loving one another's neighbor becomes who we are. It's not just something we follow, it becomes who we are when we follow the example of Christ, because that is who he was and is. We have the privilege, with his presence in us, then to be the example to those around us, those sitting next to us, those in our community. But we do have competition, don't we? There are other examples in this world, an evil presence vying for the attention of people, using selfishness, wealth, and power to entice people to follow a path that is very different than God's. And here we are again, reminded that everyone has a choice. Everyone has a choice about who his or her role models will be in life. Will it be Jesus? Carrying on the example of Jesus is an an individual, but it is also the responsibility as a congregation. Now, I'm sad to say I'm afraid that too many churches today may be fading away as places where people can come in and see Jesus. The world sees us fighting with one another. They experience us as judgmental because we are uncomfortable with things that we don't understand or know. They see us living our lives like everyone else in the world and wonder, what's it matter? What's it matter if we have Jesus in our lives? I don't believe that's what we want our congregation, I don't believe that's what we want our neighbors to experience from our congregation. I don't believe we come to church on Sunday morning so that we can leave here only to be like the unchurched in the world. We want something more. We want to be something more. We have a heart to make our lives, our neighbors, our nation, even our world a better place. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we want? I certainly hope so. Jesus is ready to lead the way. Jesus is our example, our great rabbi, the one who believes us to be on that distinguished honor roll, and the one who we are called to follow. Come, follow me, he says. The one who will live in and through us when we open ourselves to him. This is who we are called to be for each other and our community. Let nothing stop us from dropping everything to follow Jesus. Amen.